Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. Hello, I am so excited. Today we're talking about business development. And today we have an entrepreneur who is on a mission to empower businesses to be more successful, to be more prosperous, to empower their communities. So I am thrilled to have Janae Wright with us here today. Hello, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston, and we are all about the empowerment of the African-American and Latino communities. Today, we're going to talk to Janae K. Wright. He is a serial entrepreneur and an advocate for better business practices within the Caribbean and African-American communities. He has 2 decades of experience leading the finance and administrative departments of nonprofit organizations and operates his own consulting firm, Primus Business Development. In addition to Primus, Janae has founded several startups dedicated to creating new opportunities for business owners, including At Main Street, a leading generating small business app, and BCD Alliance, an international nonprofit organization. Janae K. Wright is founder and chief executive officer of Primus Business Management. Primus specializes in 4 essential business functions: administration, accounting, finance, business strategy, and human resources. And he supports businesses in these areas. Janae believes that businesses should be placed at the center of any economic development plan, understanding that a successful local business can reduce poverty and unemployment rates, change a neighborhood, improve safety and security, and have a positive butterfly effect on other local businesses. Janae focuses his work on empowering entrepreneurs to re-envision their businesses as an economic and job-creating centers of their community. Welcome, Janae K. Wright.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So we are here promoting his book, which is a great book. I don't know if you can see it. It's called A Black Business Success Model, Countering the Myths of Our Perceived Weaknesses by Janae K. Wright. And I'm really excited about discussing this book. I am reading the book, and it is, you know, if you know me, you know I like to read. But this book is a little short little book, but it's got all these great nuggets in it. It's an easy read. It's not just for those of us who enjoy reading. If you don't enjoy reading, you can still love this book because it's short and sweet and has all this great great pieces of advice and strategies on how you can build your business. And even if you're not an entrepreneur, it can be really helpful for you if you work in the nonprofit sector, if you work, even if you work in the government sector, on how to be better at the work you do, because it talks about all the different ways to reach and serve the communities you serve in, because that's what we're all about, right? No matter what industry you're in, it's about service. And so thank you, Janae, for being here. So before we get into this great book and its purpose and the strategies and advice you have for business owners on how to build their business, can you please tell our audience a little bit about you?
Sure. So I guess I'm considered one of those reluctant entrepreneurs, even though now I'm officially a serial entrepreneur. I graduated from college in 2002, right around the time of 9/11. And, you know, one of the things that I always wanted to do was work in the World Trade Center. And due to 9/11, that's no longer possible. When I came back home, there were pretty much no jobs in the financial sector. I have a degree in economics from the State University of Buffalo in New York State. So once I came back here trying to find ways of just making money, I started doing, you know, community work. I started doing bookkeeping for small business in the area, and that just kept spiraling and getting me more and more clients. And today, you know, my company is actually 19 years old this year. I was about to say next year, so I'm going to try to do some big bash next year to celebrate that I have been in business for 20 years. But, you know, over those times, you learned, you know, what business owners need, right? And one of the most important things for business owners is time. That's what my organization offers. By outsourcing accounting and HR management, administrative services, we actually take some of the pressure off business owners so they can really focus on their core mission, really focus on why they started their business and be a lot more successful without having these very necessary parts of the business managed by folks who have been doing it for years and become experts in it. So that's who we are. That's what Primus does. And we've enjoyed doing it. And I've learned so much from so many business owners and learned so much just from the different rules and regulations that are around. So it's been a great couple of years doing this.
Well, congratulations, first of all, for almost reaching that 20-year milestone next year. Make sure I'm on that invite list for that big bash, because if it's after COVID, I'm in the house.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yes, after COVID, exactly.
So tell us about, thank you for sharing your work and your evolution to becoming a business owner and the niche that you serve in helping business owners to free up their time in order to be more successful. You take care of the tasks that they need that are necessary, right, for building a business so they can focus on whatever their area of service is. Exactly. So tell us about that. Tell us about your book and why you wrote the book and what you hope, who your audience is and what you hope they will get out of it.
Sure. So a couple of years ago, I was at a client's office. I left their office. And I'm heading back to my office. And I heard this kid, probably 15, 16 year old, they cracked this joke, right? And the joke was, you know, you're in an authentic Caribbean restaurant if you get cursed out by the owner, right? I was like, you know, it's disheartening that's the reality of, you know, all the myths that's about our businesses, right? That we're not professional. We're going to gouge you on price. We're going to be less quality. And all these things start to build up as reality. And people have this thing as perception of reality. But no, it's really not, right? And so I started writing this book because I realized that even though those jokes are coming back from years ago, right? These jokes are coming back from the civil rights movement of how to get blacks to not visit other black businesses, but go over to others. But then we start telling the jokes, right? We start perpetuating the same stereotypes against ourselves. So for me, it's when we talk about how we run a business or how we do our work, we have to be much more vocal about it, right? The squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? We have to be a lot more vocal about it. So when I wrote this book, it was, let's identify where the problem is. The problem is that people think we are this, right? The reality is that this is who we are, but most of us in the business world are way too busy and way too much things in our hands to try to go out and actually, hey, I do this way. So the book is about, let's find these little nuggets of information and really push them, right? I talk about your business, your vision statement. Let people know what it is. Talk about it. Let your company know what it is. Let your employees become ambassadors to your statement. Don't just keep it to yourself. Your mission, same thing. So let's do things that are very deliberate so that way we can really push back on those myths so that way we can start to see our businesses grow and not have to worry about the stereotypes and the myths that try to affect what we do on a daily basis.
That's great advice in the way that you're saying that we have to be more, what's the word? We have to be better at.
I mean, is that old adage that we have to be five times better to be equal, right?
Correct.
We still have to do it. And until we get to the point where we are expressing to everyone, especially our own people, who we are and what we're capable of doing, then we'll see the growth that we want to see as a complete group.
Yeah, because we have to fight those stereotypes. You know, initially, like you said, initially the stereotypes were put on us to keep people, other groups of people outside of our communities from doing business with us. And then we turn around and we adopt many of those stereotypes and what we say. So what we say and do. And so with you saying that, I'm going to be on a mission now that when my family says, even if it is a joke, you know, when my family says something or my friends or my network says something negative about Black businesses, dealing with it, you know, dealing with the joke and then dealing with the reality, you know, to say, okay, let's be funny, but let's also be real about not perpetuating myths about businesses in Black and brown communities.
Correct. I know we both know many business owners, and can you think of one who will try to gouge you? Can you think of one who is not professional? Like, we go above and beyond from the day we start school, we go above and beyond to try to impress the teacher or impress our parents, and we always do more. So I doubt that you will be able to sit down and find 10 business owners that you think are horrible business owners. It's not possible. So, you know, there's no difference between us and other people. So to think that we are less than, or we are more likely to gout someone than other businesses, it's a ridiculous statement.
Agreed. So tell me about your audience and who you're seeking to reach in this particular book.
So I think my book reaches everyone. People who are thinking about starting a business. If you have this book in front of you while you're planning, you will start thinking through how you're going to manage, how are you going to promote, how are you going to take care of the finances. So having this book in front of you as you're thinking through that first step will help you really identify where you want to be and what the niche is of your organization. And it goes all the way to people who are like, I'm about to retire, I'm going to pass this on to someone else, but let me put these things in place. Mm-hmm. That way when the next person comes on, they're starting from a brand new spot and they have to worry about any of the old or the past ways of doing things. So I think that the gambit is straight along the entire line.
Makes sense. So tell us about the different topics that you explore in your book. And, you know, as a writer, I know you can't, whether you're writing an essay or you're writing a dissertation or you're writing a book, you can't put everything in there. Right? Correct. You have to be selective about what you decide to include in the contents. And, you know, entrepreneurship is a heavy ride, right? And so there's a lot you could talk about, but this book is brief and to the point. So what topics did you explore and why did you choose to explore those topics?
So as fast forward a little bit, and part of this book helped me create something that I call my TAPS series, T-A-P-S. So it's train, advocate, promote, and support, right? And I use these topics when I talk to business owners about these are the essential parts of what needs to happen in your business to ensure that you're bringing in new clients, you're managing your employees properly. So when I was thinking about writing this book, I had that in my mind, right? So part one, learn your history, learn what's going on in the world, learn, understand. You know, I talk about the Black Wall Street, which is an important part for me, right? Because in my brain is like, if Black Wall Street was left alone and left to flourish from 1920 to 2020, where would we all be right now, right? And so I want to make people understand about that. I also want people to understand that even though, and people get upset when I say this, but whatever, even though the civil rights movement was one of the greatest legislations that happened in this country, it had a negative effect, right? Because mm-hmm. one of the things I talk about is, you know, when they gave the permission to not discriminate against Black people in other community stores, right? What ended up happening is now the competition for Black businesses became wide open, but was only one-sided, right? We would go to their stores, but they never came to ours. So that really crushed the small businesses because of that.
Well, right? Before you go on to the topic, I want to support you in, I want to discuss that. Yes. Because that is a debate we have among historians too. And most historians agree that there were positive and negative effects of desegregation on, particularly on African-American community. Because not only, as you talked about earlier, about the detrimental effects of slavery, as you know, enslaved people were taught that things that were white were better, you know? Correct. So in when you look at businesses, you see when desegregation opened up opportunity, all of a sudden white ice is better than the white of the ice you can buy at a black the white ice is colder than the black ice. Correct. For example, that's just the saying people say, but it's not necessarily true. So yeah. Although that's not Janae and I are not saying no not to have desegregation. Black people deserve the right to go wherever we want to go and eat wherever we want to eat. But the fact is that there were detrimental effects on the Black community when you look at specifically Black businesses and Black education, which that's a whole nother subject in terms of desegregation. But I just wanted to expand upon that.
No, absolutely. I think it's something that people need, that we need to understand, right? There's nothing bad about desegregation. It's a vital part of the success of where we are now.
Correct.
But what we're trying to say is it did have a detriment to Black businesses because of what you said, right? The idea that theirs is always going to be better than ours. And what we want is kind of like the equality thing, right? We're all in business together. If I'm sitting next door to another accountant, you get to go and say, hey, toss a flip a coin, and either one, you get the same exact service. Not that, hey, he's Black, so his service is going to be worse or it's going to be more expensive. And that's all we want. We want you to think of the businesses in your area or think of businesses as businesses. There's no difference between a Black business owner and a white business owner or Asian. Correct. Business. It's all about the ethics and the values of that person.
Correct.
So I want to make sure people understand that when they're going into business, because that's some of the things they're going to come up against, right? People are going to look at them as less than. So you need to really have that ability to grow your business, knowing that this is something that you have to work through.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about train.
So the first part of the book is about leadership, right? Mm-hmm. It's about how do you lead by example is the important part of it. So we talk about, you know, your ethics, your honesty, how you deal with clients, how you deal with customers, and the fact that as the business owner, whether you have employees or not, people are looking at you, right? Mm-hmm. You are an example. You had the audacity to say, hey, I'm going to open a business on this block on this day, and I'm going to spend my entire time doing this. Employees look at you as this is the person who's leading the company, so I'm going to follow their example. Other potential entrepreneurs looking at you like, this is how you run a business. So your ethics, your honesty, your leadership is going to be always on display, right? The second one is about delegation. We think we can do it all, right? We wear 17 different hats and try to flip them on every 5 seconds and double back. I do not believe in, what's the terminology? I don't believe that you can actually do more than one thing well at the same time, mm-hmm. right? So when you're working on something, you're going to work on that one thing.
Multitasking.
Thank you. I don't know why I drew a blank on that.
So, like me earlier.
So I think people need to understand that you need to have people around you that you can delegate to. And the book talks about the different styles of delegation and how you go from either you are full on hanging over your head, making sure things get done, or you're a manager who delegates by, hey, here's the final product I want. I don't care how you get it there, but this is the final product I want. And that, for me, is the best style of delegation. That tells me that you hired well. That way you have trust in your employees, and that way your business is going to grow because now they become the catalyst to make things move, and you don't have to be, your hands don't have to mean every single thing that's happening. So we talk about that in there. Customer service. It's one of the things that I strongly believe in. I don't know when it happened, but I've been saying this for the last couple of years that I remember as a child, when my mother would go up against a business or something happens and she didn't like it, the business owner would go out their way to make that customer happy. nowadays, it's more of long, like their job is to show you what the legal ramifications are. Like, this is the thing you signed. I can't do anything for you. And that's not customer service. I understand that you need to make sure that you keep your business in line, but customers are an important or the most important part of your business, right? And the concept that a good customer impact will probably tell one person. A bad customer impact will tell 50 different people before an hour's up. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that as you're thinking through your business, how you deal with your customers is important, that you really understand that part. Right. And then, you know, we jump into branding and marketing, understand that in this day and age, your website is important. Your online appearance is important. So just doing a website is not just enough. One of my pet peeves when I look at people who have businesses is they have their business name, they have the website, but their email address is @gmail.com. It doesn't mesh, right? You need to, if you can do a business, make sure that you have all those things. The way people see your company is an important part of how people are going to interact with your company. Having a Gmail account makes them like, oh, they're not starting out. They're not really big. They're probably gonna be too expensive. But you have to be able to manage all those aspects and really put your business in a way that helps people envision it the way you want them to envision it, right? The last two chapters are like financial management, which of course is absolutely necessary. Understanding how you bring money into the company, understanding how you track it, understanding how you use what you've gained to reinvest back into your company and really grow from that point. And then we go in and talk to, like, the last chapter is about discrimination, right? And I always put it in two different ways: discrimination by Blacks and discrimination by non-Blacks. And a lot of times, being that most of us, as we start businesses, we start in our own community, we get discriminated by our own people a lot. And that way of dealing with the discrimination, about how you work with others in your community to help them understand what you're trying to do and how you push forward, it's all like the accumulation of this entire book, right? How do you push out your ethics? How do you deal with customers? How does your staff deal with customers, right? What is the vision of your business? What's the mission? How does your community interact with you? How much time do you survey your community? If you're doing all these things, you can help really start to dissipate the idea of this myth of who we are by showing that you're going to interact in the community in a certain way and make sure that they come back and deal with it. Discrimination by non-Blacks, it's something we deal with. It's nowadays it's a lot more hidden than being really overtly, like, no one's coming into your business with a hat on or a mask on, right? No one's walking into your business and calling you the N-word. What happens is you don't get that job because they recognize who you are, right? Or you don't get that loan because of this, or you don't get this opportunity because you're not part of it. One of the things that's vitally important for me, and what we spoke about earlier about me trying to create this online environment for Black business owners, is the megaphone effect, right? When these things happen, if you're there by yourself screaming and shouting, nobody's hearing you. But if you can come together with other businesses around you saying, hey, we've been through the same thing with the same company, the same person, and you start screaming into that megaphone, they have to start listening. They're going to start losing money if they don't. So our community as a whole needs to be part of that conversation, needs to be part of each other's business and understand that we are much stronger together than we are separate. So trying to really grow that out is what we're trying to do.
Yes, creating an ecosystem is important in terms of just having the support and the network so that, as you talked about the Black Wall Street, that we can circulate the dollar a lot more within the community in order to have an economic impact on the communities, because that will allow us the opportunity to hire more people and decrease unemployment rates and better our our community. So developing an ecosystem is extremely important. And I wish you the best in that process. In your final words, do you mind telling us, given if for those who have not gotten the book yet, we're still encouraging them to get it, Black Business Success Model. Make sure you pick it up, Janae K. Wright. First of all, what let's say three strategies you would give business owners to ensure that they are successful in business? What if you could pick three, what would you say?
Sure. So I'll go with what I train people on, right? The TAPS model. So one for T, train. Training means not just about your employees, but yourself. Writing out what your job description is, what you want it to be, right? And then evaluating yourself on the ability to actually hit those job descriptions of whatever you're failing at or you're not doing well at, get some training on it. Find some course, find somewhere else so you can understand how to do it better. And that includes, if you have employees, evaluating them based on their job description, giving them the training to be successful, because that is understanding how you grow your business and the things that you are not strong at and being better at it is an important part of being a business owner. The other one is advocate. So the A in TAPS. Advocate means, for me, it's kind of different. It's you want to turn your current clients into your advocates, right? People are more likely to use your business if someone refers you to them, right? If you have the greatest ice cream store on the planet and you have somebody go and talk about it, people are going to come to you. So turn your customers into advocates. You do this by, you know, send them special discounts, right? If you recognize them, and if you have a brick and mortar and they come to your store, say their name, good morning, Mr., and have them feel like they're part of your organization. Because once they feel that love from your business, they're going to share that love for your business to everyone else, right? The third one is promote. This is something that, you know, it's one of the hardest things. Business owners do not like to think of themselves as salesmen, but we have to be, right? There's a statement I usually say, like, if you're not talking about your business, I guarantee you no one else is, right? So you need to be out there promoting your business, whether you're on social media, setting out stuff, using Google ads, or you're joining organizations, you're part of an organization. And what I tell people about joining organizations, I want you to join and I want you to take it over. Right? I want you to be the leader. I want you to be the chairperson. I want you to be on this committee, because when you're out there talking about stuff, people are listening to you and what they're seeing is your business behind you. Because if you're that professional in this environment, then your business is that professional as well. So those are my three, right? Training, get people to advocate for your business and promote your business at every step you have.
Great advice. TAP, train, advocate, and promote. So thank you so much for joining us today. Janae, if anybody would like to use your services and or get your book, could you please provide us a contact information, your website, or how can our audience get in touch with you?
Sure. So my service is Primus Business Management. Our website is www.primusco.com. We're online. You can find all the contact information there. The book is at, it's on Amazon. It's on Lulu Publications. One thing I should say, I actually did change the cover of the book. It looks a little different than the one you have up.
You have the new cover? Show us the cover. I thought that's what it was when I saw that. Okay, great.
So you can find it on Amazon or Lulu Books, and as well as my own personal website, which is my full name, Janae, J-A-N-N-E-H-K, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.com. You can find it all there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Empowerment Zone. We can't wait to have you back. You're always welcome.
I appreciate it. I would love to come back.
Hi. Today we have Mr. Janae K. Wright, and we're excited about having him because he's going to give us a strategy for college success. Janae, tell us, what colleges did you attend? What were your majors, and what piece of advice would you give students in order to be successful in college?
Sure. So I went to, for my undergrad, I have an undergrad degree in economics from the State University of Buffalo at in New York State. I also have a master's degree, a dual master's degree in finance and in innovative entrepreneurship from Northeastern University up in Boston. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'll be upfront. I was never one of those great students leaving high school. Right? But I think one of the things that got me through college and got me through through both my undergrad and my master's was the community that I created, right? Having accountability partners, having someone who's going to help you really focus and get things done is an important step. I can't talk about that enough, right? My friends were there. Whether if you wanted to study, if I didn't want to study, they're going to force me to go to the library and we're going to sit there. You can sit there all day if you want to, not do anything, but you're going to be in the library with us as we're studying. And we did that for each other to make sure that we're there. And I remember having so much fun, like, from we were sitting in the library from like 10 p.m. till the next morning, writing papers, like cracking jokes, and just getting things done. And we all graduated, we all did well, and we're all really successful now because of that tight-knit community that we formed to help each other really push through and form accountability partners.
I love that advice. That's the first time we have received that advice in terms of strategies for college success. But develop your community. Develop a community of supportive, affirming, and great friends who will elevate you and make you accountable for the work you do. Make sure you attend class, make sure you study, make sure you stay out of trouble and stay in good trouble. Develop your community. Thank you so much for that advice.
Thank you.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Tarion Gully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.